This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. Welcome to the show. Every Saturday at this time, we bring you the Cerebral Edge with me, Coach Chris. It's a show that aims to give you the edge to be 1% better every day. Add it all up to 365 days a year, and you're well on your way to a better version of yourself. And I'm here with a good friend of mine, Rob Decker. Welcome on.
What's up, Chris G?
How are you, bro?
I'm good, bro.
Good, man. So Rob is also a fellow fitness enthusiast, but has an amazing story that he wants to share with you all from his journey from zero to hero, if I will, right? Or if I may.
Dude, that's pretty, yeah, absolutely. Actually, do you know Nate Wilson?
I do.
That's the name of his book.
Oh, right? Is it?
Yeah, From Zero to Hero. Another nice guy you should have on your show.
Yeah, I should
amazing
bring him
dude. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because he's got a great story too.
Mm-hmm.
What led him into fitness?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So let's get into you a little bit. So what started you in the fitness journey? What started you to becoming a better version of yourself?
I got picked on as a kid. Right? I got picked on as a kid. And so I started picking up the weights to get a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, I became the guy that all my friends wanted to hang out with and work out with.
Mm-hmm.
So it was natural for me to become a fitness coach. And then when I was 29 years old, I attempted suicide by jumping headfirst out of a third-story loft window. And I severed my L2, collapsed my lung, and broke both arms. I was told I would never walk again.
Mm.
And in the event that I did, I'd be fully medicated. I'd be living off a disability. You know, I wouldn't work or anything of the sorts. They didn't really gave me no hope for the future. But what happened was, months after my surgeries, which was almost about 10 surgeries on my back and both arms, I got back in the gym. When I jumped out of that window, I was 215 pounds, just solid muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 3 weeks, I didn't even recognize the guy in the mirror.
Mm.
I was down to 155, 160 pounds, just frail. So, I remember the first time in the hospital when I looked at myself in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
I was like, who's in the room with me?
Wow.
That was me, bro. yeah. And so when I had that opportunity to get back into the gym, I fell in love with lifting weights again.
Nice.
And then with the lifting weights, I naturally got into bodybuilding because that's what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I transitioned into playing softball, and I found that bodybuilding with all my structural damage and softball,
mm-hmm.
all that dynamic movement, and it just didn't mesh well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think naturally, and I was blessed enough to work for Equinox. You know, it's mm-hmm. like the creme de la creme of, health joints, right? So I had amazing coaches and amazing education. And so I started getting into more corrective and functional work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of veered away from the bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it's actually educated me to a point where now I can give that to my clients as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Let's go back to where you're 215 pounds solid muscle.
Yeah.
And you want to end it.
Yeah.
That's insane, because people would look at the outside and say, that person's really healthy, but on the inside, something else was going on.
It was a shell. It was a shell. You know, the funny thing is a lot of the lifting really came from my internal pain and dislike for myself. And I would use the gym as a form of therapy. And then the accolades and the pats on the back that I would get from, men that would see me and they're like, dude, this guy's jacked. And of course you get all the attention from the females, but all that stuff is very short lived, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something inside of me that was it was just dead. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with the thought of suicide most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a cutter as a kid. And so, when that time came for me to jump out of the window, I call it the perfect storm of events.
Mm-hmm.
I was told when I was very young that I was going to be dead or in prison by the time I was 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
I had just turned 29 on May 20th, and May 28th, Memorial Day weekend, 8 days after my 29th birthday, so I hadn't made it to 30 yet,
mm-hmm.
I'm facing police and going to prison, and I chose to take my life. So it was something that was poured into me as a kid, and I think that a lot of the stuff that was poured into me and I bottled in,
mm-hmm.
and then I tried to use drugs and alcohol as a numbing agent, right? But mm-hmm. you got to sober up at some point, right? You got to deal with those demons, but you can only run from them for so long mm-hmm. before they just take complete ownership of you. So, you know, when I jumped out of that window, like I felt like, you know, yes, I was scared and yes, I was betrayed by someone I deeply cared about, but it was almost like the moment, mm-hmm. like this was meant to be, mm-hmm. which was a lie.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So. It's pretty amazing. So from the time you were little, people were pouring this into your head, right? That you're going to be in prison or you're going to be dead. Who was telling you that and why?
Family, close people to me, right? And, you know, when I was 5 years old, I had my first beer.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So that had started really young. When I was about eight years old, I was molested by a neighborhood kid. Mm. And the neighborhood kid, his dad was friends with my dad. Now, my dad came from kind of like the suck it up buttercup generation. We don't talk about our feelings. And he was a Marine.
Right.
You know, he's no longer with us. And so this isn't any way to like try to bash my dad. I love him. And
he
did his best to raise me and do his thing. But, you know, this kid's dad and my dad were actually friends. Mm-hmm. And because of, you know, my dad's persona, at least my perception of it, there was no way that I was going to be able to tell my dad something like this happened. You know, I struggled in school all the way through middle school. I don't even know how I made it out of eighth grade. By the time I got into high school, I got introduced to drugs and alcohol. And even one of my very first sexual experiences was with my girlfriend's babysitter at the time, who happened to be her dad's best friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Got us completely loaded and took advantage of that situation.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of this, I mean, this is a lot of stuff that you compartmentalize,
mm-hmm.
right? And you don't know how to... You can't talk about it because the amount of shame mm-hmm. that came along with it. And so self-medicating just seemed like the natural thing. Plus, in my house growing up, I walked in on my parents using drugs, you know, smoking and drinking and partying every single weekend and work hard, party hard kind of mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reality is hindsight 2020, I look back and my parents are young. Mm-hmm. They were kids, raising kids, right? And they were troubled kids raising kids. They had a lot of their own baggage. You know, when I talked to my mom about my dad, and he wasn't even my biological father, he was the man that chose to raise me. You know, when she tells me the stories of the things that happened to him, mm-hmm. like, I couldn't help but feel bad for him. When she tells me the stories of her childhood, like, you know, I think part of my healing process and all this was understanding that these two people that raised me, they did their best, but they had their own demons,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I kind of absorbed that, and I learned their behaviors, and partying was one of those behaviors.
Absolutely. So partying, drinking, all that stuff, but at that same time, you also got in fitness at mm-hmm. that same juncture, which is...
Yeah, well, baseball. So baseball yeah. from a very young age was my passion, was my dream. I just wanted to grow up, and I wanted to be Willie Mays, man. I wanted to be Ricky Henderson and Mark McGuire. I wanted mm-hmm. the speed, the glove, the bat. Like, those were my guys growing up. Willie Mays a little bit before my time, but I was doing book reports on him in, like, the second grade, third mm-hmm. grade, right? So I fell madly in love with baseball, and so that was an outlet. So that was – sport was my first real outlet. And even now – as an adult, and I run recovery softball teams and I play softball, you know, when I hit that field, I feel like that little 5-year-old again.
Right.
That gets to go out there and run around and dive and slide and, mm-hmm. you know, get to play ball. So, you know, it was in high school that I got introduced to, you know, weightlifting, but baseball was my passion.
Okay. So baseball got you into starting to go to the weight room and all that stuff.
Well, getting picked on.
Yeah, getting right? picked on was the...
Right. But the weight room helped the sports, right?
Right.
You know, it definitely improved how hard I could hit that ball, for sure.
So, yeah. So, I mean, even through, as we've been talking, is that you've had, you know, not only the people close to you saying that you're going to be going to prison and all this stuff, but then also getting picked on through
mostly middle school. Mostly middle school. And then by the time I got to high school, I'd had it. Uh-huh. So, you know, instead of being picked on, I wouldn't say I went and picked on other people in high school. I just got tired of it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to get picked on anymore. So my freshman year in high school, there was he was a junior or senior in my metals class, and he kept picking on me, and I wasn't going to have it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I waited for that guy to go to the front of the class because I was about to put on a show. I was going to light this dude up.
Right.
And I went up there and I lit him up, man. Mm-hmm. And the amount of respect that I got walking away from that started to mold this new persona that I had in high school. So now I'm a bad boy that likes to fight. So I went from this kid that got picked on to now having this persona of, you know, a total BA, you know?
So. Yeah, that just goes to show again, right? You can have all the outward appearance, right? But the inside, until you get this knot between your ears untangled.
It's all mind.
That mentality has to develop a little bit. So through jumping out the window and all that stuff, what was the first thing that you did that started to untangle the knot between your ears?
Started forgiving people. I started forgiving people on my path that had hurt me or that I'd taken offense to. And when I was talking about my parents, I forgave them for the way that they raised me because I feel like they just, that's what they knew. They were two dysfunctional people coming together. And so it was the start of the healing process began as forgiveness, you know, and then understanding that there was purpose to my life, right? And that purpose was to help other people that may have walked a similar path as myself. And so that purpose, you know, realizing that, you know, God loved me and that he was going to provide for me and he was going to strengthen me and he was going to use me as the warrior that I never was. Right. And so I think that spiritually, emotionally, physically, I just became bigger, stronger, faster. So I became a spiritual athlete, you know, more mentally focused, right? So
forgiveness would be the first tip of people trying to untangle some of that stuff between their ears would be that, in my opinion, because I heard something the other day and it said the biggest thing you can do to be mean to yourself is to hate somebody else.
Bitterness destroys people, man. Mm-hmm. Hate destroys people. You know, I think that loving and forgiving really relieves the heart and allows you to grow as an individual. Because if you bask in bitterness and hate and unforgiveness, it's too hard to grow. Like, you don't get to reap the awesomeness of life when you're basking in those emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a quick break here because when I come back, I really want to get into Rob's Rises Lions, new nonprofit that he's going to be bringing to Colorado Springs. But really great info. I think it's going to help us out. I think it's going to help a lot of people out there. And this is Power Talk 1040. We'll be right back. And we are back on the Cerebral Edge. Talking to my good friend Rob Decker here.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Talking about his rise from the ashes, right?
Absolutely.
From rock bottom to ceiling, man. Rises Lions is coming to Colorado Springs through your organization. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, Rises Lions was created here. You know, I started developing these recovery softball teams, and you know, it extends past drug and alcohol addiction. So I've been sober for about almost a decade now. And even though drug and alcohol addiction is part of the grand scheme of things, I've always seen drug and alcohol addiction as a symptom. Like it's a form of self-medicating, that there's deeper issues. And so trying to bring light to mental health and suicide prevention and, you know, unresolved childhood trauma, shame, whatever it is, you know, and creating that healthy, safe, fun, active environment to do that in. You know, what happened was is, you know, I'd be out there playing ball with these guys and they would start to understand what I represent. They knew what my testimony was. And I always had people coming to me and trying to pick out part of my life story on, you know, to help them, right? And so naturally it started to grow a little bit, especially with the drug and alcohol stuff. You know, a lot of people, when they hear you're in recovery, a lot of them are actually drawn to it. So It was just kind of natural to start building off of that. And then what happened was is that there's some teams in the Springs that are fully sponsored and financed, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of what they do revolves around drinking.
Right.
Yeah, right? I mean, and so I was like, well, if someone could be sponsored and financed and it's a nonprofit, well, why can't we do the flip of that and really hone in on mental health and sobriety and providing mm-hmm. that safe spot? So always trying to find, you know, that balance of enough players that have been in sobriety for a while, they've dealt with a lot of their trauma, they could provide support for, you know, maybe two or three players coming in mm-hmm. with the hopes of them getting sober as well. And so Rise's Lines actually started with the Recovery Rebels, mm-hmm. You know, just bringing mental health and sobriety into the softball community. And it actually got sparked right after the passing of DMX, mm-hmm. right? The RR Recovery Rebels is like the Rough Riders.
Whoa. And,
right. Oh, that's your Rough Ride, right? And it was kind of to honor him. You know, he struggled with his spirituality and his faith, right? Because you heard mm-hmm. in his music. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely struggled with the drugs and the alcohol, which mm-hmm. is pretty much, you know, what created all this for us, right? Mm-hmm. And there are teams out here in Colorado Springs that are fully financed, nonprofit, and a lot of what they do includes drinking, right? That's part of right. the culture, especially with a lot of the active duty and military teams, you know, and I get it. It wasn't until one day we had some veterans come up to us and they saw what we were doing, what we represented, and we're like, we wish we had something like what you guys are doing here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is some exciting stuff. And so that planted a seed for me to really start reaching out to that community and start, you know, we're heading in the direction of building teams for active duty and veterans that want to get away from that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, if that's what you do and it's not an issue for you and that's, you know, how you guys all come together and hang out and that's cool, then, you know, that's for you guys. But we want to create something completely different. And so it started there. And then I have Kingdom Fit, mm-hmm. right, which is my gym that I run from my house.
Right.
From my house. And then I figured, well, we need to umbrella all this stuff. And then I have robdeckerspeaks.com, which is all my podcasts and where I share all my stories and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, Rise's Lines became the umbrella for all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to encourage people to be bold in their sobriety and to be able to take that next step and not be ashamed of saying, you know, I do got struggles. I do got traumas that I haven't dealt with, and giving them that safe and sober place to go do that.
Mm-hmm. And when you're around a lot of like-minded people, that helps too, right? Because there's that mental aspect to it.
Right.
And then there's also, you know, iron sharpens iron, right?
100%.
If you're around people that are on a good path, on a good trajectory, and you surround yourself with that, your success rate can go up. And not just, you know, and I'm not bashing on AA here at all, but, you know, other than just sitting around in a dark room and going, I'm an alcoholic, right? And then, you know, and there's some spots for that, but this is like something completely different to help the mental aspect, to where you're out doing something, being physical. So you're bringing the physical aspect to it, but everybody there also has the same struggle, right?
Correct. Or they've been through it, right? And they want to help someone else, or, you know, and I think, you know, you and I know as fitness coaches that we know the physiological impact that mm-hmm. movement has mm-hmm. on us.
The best way to get out of my head is I get in my body.
100%.
Right.
Right. And so that provides that, along with other like-minded people loving and caring and trying, you know, we're all doing the same thing. And I think your AA example was actually really good because I talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what could actually hurt someone's mindset. So I'm 10 years sober, right? I can't imagine calling myself an addict or an alcoholic anymore.
Right.
That life is behind me. Yeah. And so identifying in certain titles can actually be hindering to your growth. And if anyone's in AA and that's your process and you're going through the steps, like, you know, we all have a different process to get to the finish line, right? Mm-hmm. But for me personally, staying attached to things like that, it just didn't make sense to me. There was no freedom in that.
Right.
It almost felt like a form of slavery or bondage, mental slavery, right? It's shameful.
Like,
for
me, you're whipping yourself every
time.
Yeah,
it's flogging, right?
Yeah,
you're flogging yourself. Like, ah, but no, you're not. You're not. I mean, that's something that you struggled with, because physiologically, when you've, you know, the drugs and the alcohol that I used, you know, my body doesn't need it anymore, right? Because I've been so now it becomes a mental thing. It's a psychological thing. So what are the barriers in your brain that are preventing you from healing? You know, and so we're trying to provide all that. You know, I have men on my board who were creating retreats and groups where we can all come together and just open up and be like, this is what I've been struggling with. Because the problem a lot of times is we don't have that amongst, especially the men.
Oh, men. Yeah, we don't talk about our feelings.
We don't talk about our feelings because it's shameful to do so. It's weak, right? It's pathetic.
It's like, weird.
Be a man, right? Choke it down. But we want to get away from all that, right? And that's a lot of what this provides as well.
But the real good thing, though, is men do talk when they do things together.
Yes.
Right? So
sporting things, too,
when
right?
they do sporting things together, like softball. All of a sudden, you're playing softball, and you look at your buddy, and you go, hey, how's things going this week? And you actually mean it.
Yes.
Right? And you don't mean it, like, just in passing. Like, hey, how's it going? Well, good. No, it's like, hey, what's going on with your kids this week? Or what have you been up to this week, right?
Absolutely.
So when you're doing stuff, you're more apt to talk, especially as men.
Yeah, well, you know this as well as I do, is that, you know, as coaches, we also become therapists and family members, right? We become that. And there's two times that I really see people open up, you know, there's men and women, is when they're in the middle of their workout, when they're super high and feeling it and everything's flowing, right? They just become very vocal and they're really no cares in the world, man. Or when they're completely exhausted and they're just so broken down, they're like, oh, I'm just going to let it out, right?
Yep.
And I found that with physical fitness, it allows for that. Well, in building the one-on-one relationship and the trust, because at the end of the day, the reason that a lot of us don't open up is because we lack trust in other human beings, right? So we don't want to be shamed or judged or, you know, and a lot of that has to do with the way that we grew up. So we want to break those chains in people's lives, right? And so that they can go out into the world and do the same for other people, because that's what it's all about, is, you know, helping people help other people.
Yeah, absolutely. So say I'm an addict out there and I want to get involved with Recovery Rebels. How do I do that?
You just reach out to risesinlines.org. You can reach out there, or rob@robdeckerspeaks.com. My website's robdeckerspeaks.com, but my email's rob@robdeckerspeaks.com. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. Just look up Rob Decker and you'll find me, and just reach out. And well, you know, we have two full teams right now, and we're working on this third team for the active military and the vets. But what we're trying to do through the nonprofit is to create so many teams that people know what we're about, what we represent, and plant some seeds in them to want to pursue recovery and healing, you know, and good mental well-being through sport and camaraderie and family and community.
Great. Well, this has been an awesome talk that I've had my buddy Rob Decker from the Recovery Rebels.
Thanks,
Rob. Rises Lions. I love it. It's good stuff. As always, you can reach out to me at CerebralEdgePerformance.com. Or if you have questions you want answered on this show, just email me at CerebralEdge1@gmail.com. I'm so glad you joined me here today on the Cerebral Edge. Join me next Saturday at noon right here on Power Talk 1040, and I'll have another great guest with more insight on how we can all achieve that Cerebral Edge goal of making you 1% better every day. I'm Coach Chris, and until next time, stay strong.